The donut box.
The donut box.
When it comes to weight loss, we often hear about Ozempic, the magical drug that is leading to a lot of weight loss in celebrities and many individuals. Today we're going to dive into what is Ozempic, what is it for, and what's the controversy behind it. My name is Jo Sebastian, I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and welcome to the Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, it's Ozempic. And if you're ready, let's unbox this story. It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to
The Donut Box.
Today is going to be an interesting topic. You've probably already read the title of this, and that's probably why you clicked. But it's something that we talk about a lot, or I get questions about a lot on my YouTube, my TikTok, and even on Instagram. Elijah, what are we going to talk about?
We're talking about semaglutide, which is an anti-diabetic drug that has been gaining some traction recently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's getting more widely known, and it's more known as Ozempic. So you've probably heard it on the news. You've probably heard it in your tita, tito, I don't know where you probably hear it, but this is something that is being talked about more. And its popular name is Ozempic, but the actual name of this medicine is actually your semaglutide. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Elijah. What is semaglutide and why is it even gaining popularity?
So semaglutide is an anti-diabetic drug, usually used for type 2 diabetics, as a what you would call a monotherapy or a secondary line treatment. So it could be used either way. When you say monotherapy, that's the only drug that you use for it. When you say secondary, it can be added on to another drug, which is usually metformin for type 2 diabetics, right? So semaglutide is what you would call a GLP-1 agonist. Yeah, GLP-1 receptor agonist. And what it does is when it attaches to that receptor, it inhibits your body from breaking down stored glycogen from the liver that turns it into glucose, right? And that's, you don't want that. You don't want glucose to be high in your body when you're a diabetic because you have no way to break it down or to store it because insulin is not working properly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what Elijah mentioned, like GLP-1, we have to go back first to what that is exactly, right?
Yeah.
You have many hormones in your body. Many of these hormones are made up of amino acids, actually. Mm-hmm. And one of those is your GLP-1. And it has many receptors in different parts of your body. Number one is your pancreas, which, like Elijah mentioned, the receptors are there to help signal insulin, make insulin work better, to keep your body from using glycogen, all of those different aspects. That's its main goal in your pancreas. But it also impacts your stomach. So you also have receptors in your stomach, which actually slows down gastric emptying.
Yes.
Gastric emptying is essentially the emptying of the contents of your stomach into your intestine. So it slows that down. That means the absorption of the food items that you're eating is also slowing down as well. Another thing that slows down gastric emptying is the pairing of fiber, protein, and fats, or the presence of these in your stomach as well. And because it slows down gastric emptying, this now increases your fullness and slows down your blood sugar spike. One more thing GLP-1 is popular in or has a role in is in your brain. There's also GLP-1 receptors in your brain. And its goal or its role is to tell us when we are full. So essentially, the presence of GLP-1 suppresses your appetite or manages your appetite. And because semaglutide is a GLP-1, the form, the structure of it is similar to GLP-1. It does the job of GLP-1, making those who take Ozempic, or you probably know the other brands being Mounjaro and Trulicity, suppress your appetite, number one, helps with insulin, and slows down gastric emptying. Essentially, these are some of the three things that it does to help us manage our blood sugar, because it is mostly targeted for diabetic management.
Yes, but just to clarify, there are many GLP-1 agonists or GLP-1 receptor agonists like semaglutide, actually a lot of them end with glutide. But the reason why it's gaining so much traction nowadays is that compared to these other glutide drugs, these other GLP-1 drugs, it's been shown to actually have a higher percentage of it working. It's more efficient and it works really well.
Yes, as we've seen with a lot of people who have been taking Ozempic and sharing their stories online, mm-hmm. a lot of them very drastic weight loss, and you would kind of question like, oh, how did they do this? What happened? What kind of diet are they doing? A big chunk of a lot of weight loss that you're seeing online, especially for those who have diabetes, really does come from the use of this medication. And again, because of the three things that it tends to do: slowing down gastric emptying, allowing insulin to be better used, and then also suppressing our appetite, essentially.
And basically stopping a hormone called glucagon from being excreted by your liver, which in turn would make you produce more glucose from your stored glycogen. So there's that too.
How would that impact weight loss if you're actually not using your glucagon stores? I mean, sorry, your glycogen stores, because glucagon triggers your glycogen to be used.
I don't think that portion itself is contributing to the weight loss. It's more of for blood sugar balance.
So the tendency, like we mentioned in a few episodes, right, when you're diabetic, your insulin isn't, you have insulin resistance, essentially. As much as the insulin is pumped out by your body, it just doesn't work as efficiently as other, people who don't have diabetes would. So what happens is sometimes your body just doesn't feel fed. It can tap into your stored energy to make energy used, essentially, or it can cause you to have a lot of cravings because, you know, you're feeling unfed on the cellular level. Mm-hmm. By the way, GLP-1 is something that it works. It happens in the body. All of these things that we mentioned, the suppressing your appetite, not necessarily suppressing your appetite, telling you that you're full, your pancreas signaling insulin, your stomach slowing down gastric emptying. These are all naturally done by the body. It's just that semaglutide or the medicine that we are talking about enhances these actions.
Yeah. Because you have a hormone called incretin hormones that actually bind to those receptors that GLP-1 receptor agonists bind onto, but they're stronger than these hormones that actually do So your incretin hormones, these hormones that your body naturally uses, they are the ones that actually bind onto these GLP-1 receptors. But your drugs such as semaglutide, like what Joe said, they are a better form. They enhance that effect a lot more than incretin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that just to mention as well, like, you know, your body does amazing things, it does all of these things. There are just sometimes, especially with hormonal imbalances happening in the body from different conditions, that we may need that extra helper, right? And Ozempic, specifically these types of medications that we hear, is not necessarily a weight loss drug. And the thing is, we're hearing about it more as a weight loss drug. Essentially, the weight loss success that we hear overpowers the fact that it's actually done or used in order to manage blood sugar levels.
Exactly. Actually, in studies that you actually see it, if you're not doing other adjunct ways of, you know, living a healthy lifestyle, like exercising, having proper diet, and doing everything you can to control your diabetes, semaglutide isn't as effective if you just use it for that. Like, you use semaglutide and you take your metformin or whatever, studies show that if you're not exercising, if you don't have a proper diet, then it's really not effective at all.
Oh, really? Like, it won't do, it wouldn't lead to weight loss or blood sugar balance if you don't have any lifestyle changes?
Yeah, I mean, it will have an effect in some ways because it will control, like what you said, what semaglutide does helps with slowing down gastric emptying, makes you feel full longer, blood sugar control, etc., etc. But if you disregard the other things, then you're basically doing the opposite of what you want to do.
Okay, right. Of course, like that's always with any medication. You know, you never really want to just rely on the medication on its own. Like even if it's hypertension, even if it's metformin, even when it comes to acid reflux medication, taking the meds on their own is not always going to be or to give you the maximum benefit because you have to support it as well. Otherwise, you're just fighting it back and forth. You know, sometimes I have clients who say, oh, I'm taking now a cholesterol drug. I'm taking statins now. Can I eat whatever I want to? So essentially, you're just fighting or like nulling essentially back and forth that, oh yeah, I'm lowering my cholesterol, but I'm also intaking, I'm not changing anything in my diet. So it doesn't really make much sense when we do that. For anything, lifestyle factors are always the biggest that play a role. And we just have these things that support it. So there was actually a study that showed that with the semaglutide, there was 15% weight loss with lifestyle changes compared to the 2% without the semaglutide and only lifestyle changes. So it really does enhance the things that we were talking about, but lifestyle changes will help you maintain whatever it is you're trying to do. Because now you're off the drug and then what happens, right? It's really about still creating your foundation.
Exactly. Without lifestyle changes, you're going to have that lifetime disease. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that lifetime disease, usually chronic diseases, stay with you forever. And if you decide not to do anything about it, you don't change your lifestyle, then the worse that disease can get and the harder it can be to control.
Mm-hmm. Although when it does come to diabetes, it is essentially lifelong. It's really just about managing it as best we can, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so with Ozempic, usually, and of course, when we say Ozempic, we're just using the most popular medication for it. Like, we're not using the generic brand term, you know, how there's like generic and stuff like that. We're using the most popular brand name. There's usually, of course, side effects. Some of these side effects being nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, and even abdominal pain. So it's not all amazing, like, yes, I'm just gonna lose weight, let's do it, take the drug, everything's gonna be okay. There will definitely be side effects.
Yep. Fatigue, you could be allergic to it, you can have anaphylaxis. If you take it alongside another diabetic drug, you can become severely hypoglycemic if you're not, you know, checking your sugar levels. But yeah, in terms of side effects, the side effects are like what? Decreased appetite.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that's like also an action of it as well, right? Yeah. Like it tries to do that essentially.
Yeah. Dizziness, but that could happen because you're hypoglycemic.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of these side effects are also like probably your body telling you different things that's going on as well that might be happening. There's actually a lot of people who have taken Ozempic and said that they had to go off it because their side effects were just too hard to manage, right? And when it comes to Ozempic, Elijah, tell us how we usually would maybe, what are some things that would tell us we would qualify for it? And maybe what are some of the ways that it's usually taken? By the way, this is not to be confused for medical advice. We just want to talk more and clarify the things around Ozempic.
So indications for usage of Ozempic, indications means why you would use it or when you would use it, is one, you have type 2 diabetes. You can use it as, like I said earlier, a monotherapy for... That's your only drug that you'll use because you're diabetic. Or, for example, you're on what you call a first-line medication, metformin. Usually that's what you would prescribe a type 2 diabetic. If it's not, if it's that's with lifestyle modifications, is not able to control your blood sugar level, your diabetes, then you would add Ozempic to it, right? Or same thing if you had metformin and another, like usually it's up to 2 diabetic drugs, and then you can add that as a third. So it could be 1 solo, it could be 2 with metformin, or it could be 3 with metformin, another drug, and then semaglutide. Mm-hmm. In order to control your blood sugar levels.
Okay. And then online we hear or we see people using it and sharing that usually it's 1 dose per week.
Yes.
With the dosage depending on the individual. Like usually you'll start off with a lower dose, and then if you can take a higher dose, see how it's going.
Because there's 2 ways to actually use Ozempic or semaglutide. That's oral and injecting.
Injection.
Subcutaneous. I'm not too fond with the oral dosing, but with the sub-Q, with the...
What do you mean you're not too fond with it?
I haven't done much studying about...
Oh, okay, you mean about, you're not about familiar.
Familiar, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Is not the word.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the word, yeah. So I'm not familiar with, or too much familiar with the oral route, but with the sub-Q route, the way it works is that for the first 4 weeks, so first month, so like what Joe said, 1 injection per week, you start at 0.25 milligrams per injection per week. Once you reach 4 weeks, you usually increase it to 0.5 milligrams for another 4 weeks. When you get to that point after that second 4 weeks, after the 8 weeks, then your physician will tell you, okay, blood sugar is being controlled. Then you can keep it at that, go back down to 0.25 if it's good enough, or if it's still not being controlled, then you would step up. So you can go in 0.25 or 0.5 increments up to a max dose of 1 milligram once a week.
Mm-hmm. And when you say not working, we mean for blood sugar management, right?
Yes, for blood sugar management, yeah. Yes.
This is not like, oh, yeah, not weight loss.
Not losing weight.
We're going to increase it. So yeah, this is why it's so important to talk about, because there is such a, there's a lot of misinformation about what Ozempic is for. And it actually happens where when I talk about celebrity weight loss, there's always the comment section being like, oh, they probably use Ozempic, oh, they probably use this and that and all these things. And we can't say they did or didn't, because we have no idea. They did not mention it at all, right? But just to emphasize again, it's not solely for weight loss. It is actually more focused on balancing your blood sugar levels. And a side effect of this is just that when your blood sugar levels are more balanced and your appetite is a little bit more regulated, weight loss can occur or can then happen. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Agreed.
So I have a question with Ozempic. Is it supposed to be a lifelong thing that you're supposed to take, or only until you're regulating your blood sugar levels or something like that?
Well, if you have really resistant diabetes, then it can be a lifelong thing. But like I said, it's really case-to-case basis, right? It depends on how severe your diabetes is, if lifestyle modification is helping, if you're doing lifestyle modification, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say nothing works except for semaglutide. Even if you're doing lifestyle modifications, you're doing metformin, then most likely it'll be a lifelong medication. But if it's able to be controlled, and then let's say you did more lifestyle modifications, you ate really balanced, you had smaller frequent meals, and metformin is enough, then it's really up to your endocrinologist, your physician, to say, okay, yeah, let's see what happens if we take off semaglutide. If it works, then it works, then you could probably be off of it.
Because essentially, for any medicine, really, you don't want to have a lifelong attachment to the medications, you know, because one, it's expensive. Actually, we can drop into the prices of Ozempic. Some of the some of the videos I've watched and seen, they would say it's around 7,000 pesos per dosage of it. In Paris, they said it's $80 per dose. And then Elijah, what did you mention it was for the US?
So basically, it's $900 for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's divided by 2, 450. So 275 per week.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. You know, it's quite expensive. And depending on how long you're actually going to be taking it as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. For the Filipinos, $275 is roughly like 13,000 pesos, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, you know, like that's very expensive. But of course, it sometimes is very necessary for diabetic management as well, because it has been seen to be very helpful. It's just that we don't have a lot of long-term studies yet that would show us like, okay, what's it going to be true. Like in like 10 years yep. or even like more so. So there's definitely still that aspect that we're looking at.
I was actually watching another video by Dr. Mike. I love Dr. Mike because he gives out really good information, gives out facts and studies and stuff. And, you know, he was also talking about how people are glorifying it, right? Mm-hmm. How it has barely any side effects.
It's the best. Go for it. It's the best. You know?
Help you lose weight. But the thing is, a lot of the studies done on semaglutide were the clear side effects and side effects were seen not on humans but on animals, right? And so just because we're not seeing anything now on humans, it doesn't mean we're not gonna see anything down the line.
Yeah.
So there's people who use it who don't have diabetes, right? To lose weight. We don't know the implications of that. We don't know what would happen if someone with diabetes takes semaglutide. Yes, they will lose weight. Yes, they will lose weight. But going further than that, we don't know because there's no clinical trial that says non-diabetics taking semaglutide, you know, and seeing what the results are. Because one, that's kind of unethical.
Even for diabetics, we don't have those long-term studies as well.
Exactly. So yeah, it's just crazy.
Exactly. That's actually one thing that we kind of are concerned about when it comes, and by we I don't mean like me and Elijah, I mean like generally the concerns around the use of medication specifically would be, will it cause dependency on this? Oh wait, there. Okay, will it cause dependency on the medication? Because like, okay, now it's working, but do we have to use it lifelong now? Is that the only way that we're going to be able to manage our diabetes? And then does it treat the root cause, or does it just manage it, you know, while you're taking the medication? And then when you're off it, everything comes back to normal. So those are some things that we haven't fully seen, how it's going to work and help others. Does it become a band-aid solution, or does it become a long-term solution? We're not fully sure yet with that. Yep. But the big go ahead.
Sorry. And I think it really just boils down into like habits and lifestyle, right? You take it, you don't have diabetes, you lose weight. You get to the intended weight that you want. You stop taking semaglutide. And then what? What happens after that? Right? Do you gain weight again? Do you start in restricting so much food and you develop an eating disorder? Do you, like, you know, there's so many things. And then you'll yo-yo. And then you're like, oh, I gained weight, so I'll just use semaglutide again. Like what Joe said, you start forming a dependency on this drug. So that's the dilemma that you know, people, scientists are, and you know, just the everybody regarding this drug. It's like, then what? You take it and then what?
Yeah. And we're not like, oh, what happened to you? What happened? Okay, I'll pause. Okay, yeah. And by the way, we want to emphasize, it's not like we're against Ozempic or anything. It is very helpful for a lot of individuals who need it. I think now we are actually steering the conversation towards the fact that a lot of people use it who don't need it. Because again, the weight loss part of the medication is emphasized. Like, you were hearing all about it. There is a new weight loss drug. It's Ozempic. It works. It's making a lot of celebrities super duper skinny. So the idea behind Ozempic now becomes a weight loss drug compared to its actual intention, which is to manage diabetes.
Manage diabetes. Yeah. Okay, so here's my question, right? I'm not, like, the reason why I know everything that's happening or just hearing about it's because it's gotten to that point where even some of my friends who don't have diabetes
where
I'll tell you who after.
No, like friends in the Philippines or there?
Yeah, in the Philippines.
Oh, okay. Oh, they have access. I know. How?
Because their parents are physicians. Anyways,
I don't think this should be record. In the podcast. Yeah, please remove,
please remove the friends having it. Anyway, so the reason why I even know about Ozempic thing is because some people that I know, I'll just say that, are actually taking it, and I know 100% for a fact that they don't have type 2 diabetes. But aside that, that's all I know about it, that there's this, that semaglutide is being used for people to lose weight. My question is, how are people who don't have diabetes getting access to it? Do they ask their diabetic friends to get to use their prescription to buy it? Do they talk to a doctor to prescribe them even though they don't have diabetes? Or are doctors allowed to prescribe it to you for weight loss?
I don't know. Yeah, like, is it now a viable drug just for weight loss? Is that like, is it shifting now into more of a weight loss drug than more than just a diabetic drug?
How are celebrities using it if they don't have diabetes? I mean, they can say they do.
That's also another aspect. Yeah. We never really know who has diabetes or not. It's not like it's public information where it's like, yeah, this person is sick and like has this and that and that, you know, all of those things. There are those aspects. So I think the thing really just came up where there were so many celebrities who were losing weight, some of the popular ones being Khloe Kardashian and Mindy Kaling, and they were really being accused of using Ozempic. And I don't know if there's actually proof of that, you know, but that's really when the controversy came up, where it's like, where are people, or how are people who don't have diabetes now getting access to this and only using it for weight loss? And it now takes away the supply from those who actually need it, from those who literally require it to help manage themselves, you know? And that's really something that, we have to understand a little bit better. It's like, what is the implications of this being now a medical drug, and it now impacts those who have diabetes because the supply shortens, and what does this mean overall? Because like people are saying now, skinny is back as a trend, and the curvy trend is gone because Ozempic is back, or Ozempic is here.
Oh wait. Was it that? Like, I heard that. I've heard that before. Skinny is back. Oh, wait. Is it because of Ozempic?
I don't know, but that's really when it... I don't, like, know for sure. You know, like, I don't have, like, concrete proof that, yes, it's because. But that is a big part of it, because I remember specifically the example being used is Khloe Kardashian, because she's very curvy. There's a point where she's very curvy, the Kardashian look, and then they like.
She
got
was
rid
the
of
curvy
their...
Kardashian.
Yeah, but then she lost weight, and then I don't know, something about them getting rid of their BBLs and all of these things, and now using Ozempic, so now they became skinny, and now it's like the trend is now from curvy to skinny, and now it's back to the heroin chic phase of the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, body image is just a steer a bit from the conversation, but then we again realize that body standards are really one a trend, and it's just interesting to see how this drug is becoming a big factor to that.
And it's funny because people say diet culture doesn't exist. You guys are just exaggerating it. When you use a drug that's for diabetes to lose weight, you know diet culture is a real thing. The fact that you have to use a drug not meant for weight loss, but meant for diabetes, and you use it in order to lose weight, what does that tell you about culture? That our culture nowadays is focused on how you look, how thin you are, and what diet you're doing in order to reach that way.
Yeah, that's why it's... It's tricky because while this is a great advancement in diabetic management, you can really see how it turns into a possible negative thing and a larger cultural impact even. You know, it's not even just to lose weight. It also impacts body image, accessibility, and all of these other things now as well. I mean, like, I hear a lot of people trying to use metformin as like a weight loss drug as well, because it's supposed to manage diabetes. You know, it's crazy how we can utilize these discoveries and like abuse it.
The funny thing is, you mentioned that like people use metformin to lose weight, but metformin doesn't actually make you lose weight. So people are using it for no reason.
I know, like there's just, you know, there's a lot of that essentially. But okay, so there's two things that I heard about online as well being factors to Ozempic. So we hear number one, the Ozempic face, and number two, the Ozempic baby. So the Ozempic face is essentially when you see somebody who has lost weight and then their face is kind of like saggy. Like you see like a very, like a kind of, their face is slimmer and then a little bit saggy. So the reason why this tends to happen is because rapid weight loss generally leads to excess skin, and because it's in the face or wherever it is, it's going to droop, and that's essentially what they call like the Ozempic face. Okay, there. So wait, no, there. Okay, so because when you have rapid weight loss, those areas where that weight loss happened, the skin is going to droop. And that tends to happen in the face. That's why a lot of people are like saying to celebrities, oh yeah, she has Ozempic face, something like that. Because it's seen in the face. And this actually happens to us when we're older. Weight loss, unintentional or intentionally, as we get older, also leads to like that sagging or that drooping. It's just a little bit more pronounced in those who have and those who use Ozempic, because it's a rapid weight loss.
I didn't even know that happens.
I'm in the pop culture the side of Ozempic. Oh, you're in the medical side of Ozempic.
I'm literally just like, cool, yeah, Ozempic. And then people are like becoming Ozempic addicts now.
Like, no, it's not an addict.
I don't know. It's starting to look like an addiction.
We're not gonna say that, but like, you know, there are just those things.
By the way, sorry. I'm not trying to make fun of addictions. I just want to make that clear. I'm not trying to be judgmental. But yeah, I mean, it can become an addiction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For people who just want to keep losing weight and have anorexia or whatever, they get addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's addicting, though. I don't know if there's any addictive properties.
I don't think the addiction is from the medication itself, but it's from the results of the medication. So I actually saw somebody sharing about their Ozempic journey and how the first few weeks of them using it, they didn't really lose a lot of weight. So it was kind of like disheartening for them. And then when they were finally losing weight, it was like 15 pounds in a week or like this much and this much. It was like really fast. And you kind of get on a high with that number, you know, because you're like, oh, wow, for years I've been struggling with my weight loss. And now just in 1 week, I can lose the weight that I've been struggling to lose for so long. And I think that quote unquote addiction, but that not addiction, but like that high from there where it's like, yes, it's exciting to see the number go down. I want to see it more. Let's go. Let's keep it going. That could be maybe a side effect, I guess, or like a negative impact mentally.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you see the results happening, you release serotonin, dopamine, makes you happy, makes you have that happy high. So you just want to keep feeling that. And, right, you don't want to keep gaining weight that, you know, people would think that. And they end up getting addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, not the drug, addicted, but like you said, the feeling.
Yeah.
And the feeling of achieving what they want to achieve.
I don't know if the word's addicted. I think we just have to like look for a different
word. Yeah, we have a different word.
There's like another word for it, but you really get into
Well, dependency.
That's
the thing. Dependency is that's the word, right?
No, because it's like you're dependent on your results. You know, like in terms of like the results. You just want to see. Oh yeah. But we also don't know if like that dependency is like addiction wise, because you're mentioning addiction and how you're into seeing that result, or like you feel a high from seeing that result. I don't necessarily think the word is dependency mm-hmm. either.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, oh,
yeah, yeah. Like the yeah.
That's more of like a technical area. mm-hmm.
There's a delay, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed the delay before. Okay. So yeah, that's probably one of the negative impacts, is that you now are searching for those results on the scale because it's the only thing that kind of shows you tactile or tangible results and clues for that. So there's another term created. I don't know if it's by the internet or anything, but the Ozempic baby. So when you take Ozempic, because it impacts your digestion, you know, your gastric emptying and things like that, it now actually impacts the efficacy of your birth control. So the absorption or the use of your birth control. And that can often to increase your risk, your chances of getting pregnant.
Wait. Okay, so yeah, we were talking about this earlier prior to recording this about mm-hmm. how it affects birth control. So when you brought up Ozempic baby, I didn't think of birth control. I thought of like, duh. So they eat. They have slower gastric emptying. So their stomach is gonna be a bit bigger. So it looks like they're pregnant. Yeah, I thought that's why it's called Ozempic baby, is because they'll bloat because the gastric emptying is slower. So it looks like they're pregnant.
No, not that at all. It's the efficacy of the Ozempic. So that's actually just something for those who are taking birth control and Ozempic to consider as well. I mean, I guess that would probably be a plus for those who have PCOS and are taking Ozempic and want to get pregnant, yeah. You know?
Because I'm so not up to date with all this pop culture.
Yeah. So wrong, but you heard. Okay. So anyways, in short,
you saw the thought process though, yeah, right? You saw the thought. It was logical.
It just went the wrong way, but I understand. Okay. So anyways, we've pretty much discussed a lot about Ozempic. Let's summarize our thoughts, our feelings, all of those things.
Yeah. One, let's go back to this. Let's summarize it. Mm-hmm. Ozempic, type 2 diabetic drug, used for type 2 diabetes, helps lower blood sugar, and is a great diabetic drug. It's the most efficient GLP-1 drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now people are using it to lose weight because that is one of the side effects of said drugs. And we are basically in this crossroads of, should it be allowed? What are the consequences and how will this progress down the line? Because like we said, we don't know the implications of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how it will affect people who don't have diabetes. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like we mentioned, while Ozempic sounds like a very exciting weight loss drug, its main focus is really to manage diabetes. And let's not accuse people as well of like, oh, they're using Ozempic, of, oh, they're using this, because we don't really know what they're going through. You know, it's not fair for us to start raising that kind of accusations on people as well. You know, but of course, if there are people who are using it for weight loss, please let those who have diabetes have access to the medications. Let's not take it from them. It's so important for them to be able to manage their health. And we end up putting weight loss again being another trend. We make weight loss another trend because of using Ozempic for that purpose. So yeah, again, also want to emphasize, this is not a substitute for your consultation with your doctor, but hopefully this is helpful for us to clarify a little bit of the things going around Ozempic.
Exactly. And we're not doing this to judge people who are using Ozempic, but in a way it's more of like, let's like what Joe said, let's save the Ozempic for people who need Ozempic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future it will be used for other purposes, but right now let's focus on those who really need it. Okay.
Agreed. Yeah, perfect.
Okay. And that is the end of the video. Thank you so much for listening in. And if you have any suggestions for topics or things you want to talk about, don't forget to follow the pod on Instagram at the Donut Box Pod. And don't forget to follow us here as well. Follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Threads, and X. And we can stay connected. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima Podcast podcast. Don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.